good. Thank you, brother, for that. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We will get there in just a little bit. Ladies, I want you to know that you had the opportunity this morning to hear, and I don't say this without any hesitation, you had the opportunity to hear, listen, be taught by the most godly woman that I know. She loves the Lord. She's a woman of the Word. Her discipline is just beyond description. The time that she spends in the Word every day without fail is just phenomenal. And I'm glad you had the opportunity to hear from her. Now, I'm not responsible for any stories that she tells or any exaggerations that she makes. Anyway, I'm glad you got to hear from her today. You get to hear from her again tomorrow. Our son, who is our pastor, even this week, and he does this often when he's got a difficult meeting or he's got a big decision to make or needs wisdom, I'm the first person that he texts and asks to pray for him is his mom. He knows that his mom can get a hold of the throne of God. When Katie prays, you might as well just put it in the bank. It's going to happen. That's just how it seems to be in our family. And he knows that his mom walks with the Lord. And I'm thankful that our kids know that when they need somebody to pray for them, they text their mom. And mom, get on it. Like right now, she'll get on it. And just a blessing. The cornerstone of every physician's education is anatomy. The word anatomy dates back to at least 1600 BC, and it literally means to open up. You can imagine without having opened up human bodies to gain an understanding of the human anatomy, and it would be impossible for doctors to practice good medicine. And in the same way, couples cannot practice good conflict resolution until they understand the anatomy of a good fight. So what we have got to do and what we're going to do in this session this morning is we're going to open it up, if you will, and we're going to discover what makes for a good fight. And I'll tell you this, every good fight involves these four things: cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. Those four things are at the core of every good fight. Let me explain what I'm talking about when I use that phrase. We didn't get to see the chart last night, but had you seen the chart, you would have understood. For example, when I talk about a good fight, I'm talking about one in which the goal is resolution. I'm talking about one in which the attitude is cooperative and receptive. The demeanor is one of understanding. The result is harmony. The benefit of this resolution of conflict is growth and intimacy. So let's begin our time together this morning talking about cooperation. Good fighters fight for a win-win. A study reported to Psychological Science discovered that when it comes to couples, the best arguers are those who work in tandem with their partner. According to the study, the person who says we the most, D during an argument suggest the best solutions. The study cited researchers from the University of Pennsylvania and the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill who used statistics. Never can say this word. Watch out on the front, I may spray it a little bit. Statistical analysis to study 59 couples. Spouses who used you tended toward negativity and things of that nature. Those who used we provided positive solutions to problems. So here was their conclusions. We users may have a sense of shared interest that sparks compromise and other ideas pleasing to both parties. You sayers, on the contrary, tend to criticize, disagree, justify, and otherwise teem with negativity. Now, I brought a little game with me this weekend that is really going to help illustrate the point that I'm trying to make this morning. So I think, I asked for four volunteers. Maybe you were voluntold. But I need those four volunteer couples to come up here with me real quick, all right? All right, 1, 2, 3, we're missing one. Who's the other one? Huh?
The youth pastor.
Oh, okay, all right, good. They love these things. All right, I need two couples over here, and I need two couples right here. All right? Now, here, let's, and we've got to divide this too. Let's go right here. This is your team. You need to be cheering for these guys.
Woo!
There you go. Yeah. This is your team. You need to be cheering for them. I love it. I love it already. Okay. Now, I asked our janitor home to clean them, so I hope he did. All right. Here is how this works. Each husband and wife, they're going to put this plunger on their forehead. Now, you can hold it on there, okay? You just can't touch the string and fill it. You can hold it on there. And here's the goal. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and you have to see how many times you can spin this pillow around, okay? If you have glasses on, you may want to take them off. Okay, Bridget, why don't you and your wife, you be the counters. All right, I don't think you get off the hook because we're going to switch this, okay? Now, and listen. I would never make these people look stupid without a prize. And so the one who gets the most turns gets a $25 Chipotle card. Okay, so I'm not going to make you do this for nothing. All right, you're going to look foolish for something, okay? So, anyways, it'll be 30 seconds. You count how many revolutions, and why don't you guys come and you be the counters, you guys be the doers, all right?
Make sure they have enough space. It's not acceptable.
You can hold the, I would suggest you hold the plunger on your forehead. Okay? All right. Okay. Now, come on, it could be you up here. So you cheer because you're glad it's not you up here, okay? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, go! Come on. here, okay? You're cheering because you're glad it's not you up here. All right, let's switch. Let's do it again. You guys are
good. Is that our fault, Lily?
You guys are the corners?
That's right.
All right, you might just wait just a little bit so we don't get the screen. There we go. All right, you guys ready? On your mark, get set, go. Cheer on. Cheer on.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Woo! Let's go. Come on. Cheer, come on. Let's go. It is a skill set that can be learned. It is a skill set that can be learned. Did you notice, well, with the exception of maybe one couple, did you notice that the longer they went, the better they got at it? I don't keep track, but I don't know that we've ever had 40. I mean, that was almost non-stop. 40. But you know the others, what did you see them? They kind of got the rhythm, and then once they got it going, I mean they just stayed after it. That is a skill set that can be learned. And cooperation when it comes to conflict resolution is the same way. Now listen, I'm not gonna ask anybody else to do it, I promise. Okay, I promise. I'm not gonna ask anybody else to do it. But I do want to ask you this, and there's a reason. How many of you think, having watched them, think you can do pretty good? Now, you may not get 40, but you think you can do pretty good at doing it. I'm not going to ask you to do it, all right? Be honest, I'm not going to ask you to do it. You think you can do pretty good at it? All right. Listen, some of you, and I know some of you have, because you talked to me already since my testimony last night. Some of you may come from homes like Katie and I came from. Homes where you never saw any of this stuff. You never saw a good marriage. You never saw a good relationship. You may have come from a home where, I mean, it was yelling, it was screaming, it was arguing, maybe in the case of my wife, it was hitting and a lot of physical abuse. And it was, as the pastor said this morning, it was just filthy. It was messy. It wasn't a good home environment. And so, consequently, when you got married, you did what I did. You acted like your parents. It's the only model you had. It's the only example of marriage that you had. It's the only way you knew how to do things. And so you just came in and did it the way your parents did it. Now granted, some of you may have come from homes that were godly homes, good homes. Mom and dad loved each other. Mom and dad, it wasn't perfect, but they established a good model for you, and you wanted to do things. And if that's your story this morning, praise the Lord for that. I mean that. 100%, I mean that. I am thankful that you got to grow up in that kind of home. But some of us didn't. we didn't have a good example. We didn't have a good pattern to follow. And I'll be honest with you this morning, the first few years of our marriage were rough. I'm just being honest. Yeah, we were in the ministry. We went to Bible college. We were believers. We were supposed to be leading others. And we're leading others. But I'm just telling you, the first few years of our marriage were rough. Primarily because I didn't know how to handle conflict. In our home, the way you handle conflict is you just outshouted the other person. You just yelled louder, longer. And usually in those cases, my mom would. Because finally my dad would say, whatever, mom. And he'd just sit there and drink his beer. She just kept yelling. I mean, she like a little chihuahua. She just stayed at it. And he'd go to bed, and she's yapping to him all the way down the hall. Still yapping. And so in our house, conflict resolution was you cranked it up. Well, here's what happened. Whenever I would crank it up, Katie would shrink down. Because in her home, whenever somebody cranked it up, somebody was going to get hit. Somebody was going to get hurt. And so she feared my anger. She feared my temper. And I was trying to, you know, trying to resolve conflict, and I was just creating more conflict. Now, I'm thankful today that that is way, way, way many, many years in the past. And I don't have a problem being honest and transparent. I have nothing to hide. God's done a work in me. And that's just the way it was early on. And I'm thankful, again, that that is way, way, way long gone. Been married, coming, going on 44 years now. I'm talking many, 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 many years ago. I'm thankful for that. Let me just encourage you, those of you who handle conflict well, and I have no doubt there are couples in here that handle conflict well. Can I just encourage you to do this and sort of keep doing well?
Amen.
You know why? Because your kids are watching.
Amen.
Don't think they are. Your kids are watching. They listen to how you speak to your spouse. They listen to how you react during conflict. And chances are, they're going to carry that same example. And for those of you here this morning who would be honest and say, Bridget, I really need this because I don't do conflict. Can I just encourage you to do this? Learn to do it well. And for the very same reason, because your kids are watching.
That's right.
They need a good example. They need somebody to do it right. The key to cooperation is found in reframing a conflict from win-lose to win-win. You see, gang, unlike the plunger game, your conflict is not a competition. Your marriage is not a zero-sum game. There has to be a winner, and there has to be a loser. That's why so much conflict never gets resolved, because somebody says, well, I'm going to keep going at it until I win. That's not the goal in conflict. It's not for somebody to walk away a winner and somebody to walk away a loser. Win-win is a frame of mind and heart that seeks mutual It's an attitude that says, if you win, then I win too. It's committed to finding solutions that benefit both sides of the dispute. Now, let's take a moment to be realistic. Not every dispute has a solution for both sides. That's just reality. Sometimes there's not going to be a solution that works for both people. And when that is the case, then it's time to agree to disagree. But let me insert this, and I know I'm on good biblical ground here. When you find yourself at an impasse and a decision has to be made, I believe that God has put that responsibility on the shoulders of the husband as the leader. Now, guys, please note, I didn't say God has given you the right. It's not a right. It is a responsibility. And there are consequences to every decision that you make. Don't forget that. There will be times when you're not going to be able to come to complete agreement. And somebody's going to have to make the decision. And guys, God has given that responsibility. And it's not always a fun responsibility. And we're going to be called upon to make a decision. But we've got to understand that the decision we make has got to be made in the best interest of our wife and our kids. Not so much our interest. The second core essential to a good fight is ownership. Here's where we'll get into Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And the eyes of them both were open. Of course, it's Adam and Eve in the garden. They had partaken of the forbidden fruit, did what God told them not to do. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Oh, how easy it is to play the blame game. But as you can see, we come by it honestly, don't we? Here's how it sounds in the average marriage. But we wouldn't be in this mess if you knew how to manage money. Or, you're the one who's angry, not me. Or, if you were ever on time, we wouldn't always be late for dinner. When we blame our spouse for anything else, we shift responsibility. That's all we're doing. We're blame shifting. We're trying to lay responsibility on someone else. And I'll just tell you this morning, blame only exacerbates a conflict. In the boxing ring, they call it blocking when a boxer turns his shoulders to prevent an opponent's punch from landing squarely on the body. In a relationship, we call it an excuse. It sounds something like this. It's not my fault. I didn't see the bills until just now. Or it may sound something like this: well, it's not my fault. I had the bills all laying out right here, and now you moved them somewhere. If we don't try and block blame with an excuse, then we might throw a counterpunch. Something like this: oh, really? So I'm the one who doesn't know how to handle it. Let's talk about your little shopping spree last week. I mean, if you've ever been involved in a bout like this, then you know full well that it can go on and on and on as each spouse continues pointing fingers, and it will not stop until someone decides to take ownership in this situation. I don't know how many of you saw the final Rocky movie, but in one scene, an aging Rocky Balboa said this to his son. He said, "You got to be willing to take the hits and not point fingers, saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody." He said, "Cowards do that, and that's not you." So I would say this today: the blame game is for cowards. Ownership takes courage. Ownership takes courage. Here's the deal with ownership, though. Whenever we're willing to own our part in the issue, then it makes us vulnerable. And we don't like that. We don't like opening ourselves up to be critiqued. And honestly, we'd rather find someone or something else to blame. But hey, that's why ownership takes courage. I mean, anybody can take the coward's way out and blame somebody else, but it's really our fault. Track it with me. Number three, respect. Confrontation. Please listen. Confrontation should always leave a person's dignity intact. 40 plus years of pastoring, and all these other pastors can attest to this as well. Listen, I've tried to mediate some real humdingers. I mean, I've had husbands and wives cussing each other in my office. I've heard them call each other despicable names. I've heard them dredge up things from their past, but really, I had no business knowing. It wasn't helpful in any way. Solomon said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." He also said this: "A soft answer turning away wrath." Talking about being respectful to our spouse. But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools, look at that, fools pour it out foolishness. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil. And Paul said this: "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And you know what will happen if we will put that verse in practice? Then we will respect our spouse as they deserve to be respected. So we talked, some of you may have heard, I know you've heard, this phrase: "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Is there anybody in here that believes that? Brother Wynn can take a baseball bat and just beat the fire out of it. But you know what? Eventually, the bruises would go away, the bones would heal, and I'd be okay. But I'm going to guess, even in a group this size, that there are at least one, maybe two or three, three people in here who for years still hurt from something that was said to you. Maybe by a parent, maybe by a spouse, maybe by a coach, maybe by an educator. Even to this day, as an adult, what they said still hurts. That's what I'm talking about. We've got to learn to respect our spouse. Hearing times of confrontation. I know it can get heated. I know it can get difficult. But that is still no excuse for being disrespectful. Contempt, there is no room in a good fight for contempt. And I would define contempt like this. It's any belittling remark that robs your spouse of his or her dignity. Respect ensures that even when we don't say the right thing, we leave unsaid the wrong thing at that tempting moment. So we're looking at the characteristics that make up a good fight, a good moment of conflict resolution. And it's going to be cooperation. It's going to be ownership. It's going to be respect. And I want to talk about this last one real quick. Empathy. What is empathy? Empathy is the most powerful, consistently rewarding action of love that you can ever take. Empathy is simply this. It's the ability to see things accurately from your spouse's perspective. The ability to see things accurately from your spouse's perspective. Now, I'm going to go back here for this next part of the lesson. I'm going to show you some images. And I want you to tell me what you see. Okay? I want you to look at these images, and I want you to tell me what you see. All right, let's start with this one. Do you see faces, or do you see a face? How many of you see faces? Okay. How many of you see a face? How many of you see both? How many of you don't see either? All right, let's go on. You see a lady or do you see a musician? Lady or musician? How many of you see a musician? What's he playing? Okay, how many of you see a lady? How many of you see Bo? Anybody can't see either? Okay. How about this one? What do you see, a B or do you see a 13? Not a trick question. What do you see, a B or a 13?
13.
Both? All right. Tell me what word you see here.
Left.
Shout it out.
Left.
Anybody see the word pride? That's good because it's not in there. That's going to come back to bite me one of these days. Some dude's going to go, yeah, I see it right there. Hey, Bobby, it ain't in there. I'm sorry. All right, let's try this one. What do you see, an elephant or a tree? Look at it. How many of you can see a tree? How many of you don't see a tree? Fair enough. How about the elephant? How many of you don't see the elephant? All right, here's a good one. Is that a rabbit or a duck?
That's a duck.
Sure?
Positive.
Positive?
Positive.
Ain't no way it's a rabbit? How many say it's a rabbit? How many of you say it's a duck? Yeah. It's a little more difficult. How many of you see the dog? See it? It's a little harder when we get close. There's a hind leg. I put my phone in the water. There's a hind leg. Here's the rump. Here's the other leg. There's the rump. With the front leg. There's the other front leg. There's his neck. There's his head. And down drinking water, there's his ear. Y'all see that? Anybody still not see it? Is that six or nine?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Who said that? What'd you say?
Which side you're on?
Oh, really? Depends on which way you look at it, doesn't it? Because from one person's perspective, that is clearly a six. You can't mistake that. That is a six, is it not? But from the other person's perspective, it's just as clearly a nine to them as it is a six to them. So, Brother Prayer, what in the world does that have to do with managing conflict? The answer is everything. Everything. A great number of conflicts aren't conflicts at all, but rather a matter of misunderstanding based on perception.
Right.
Your wife sees it this way, and you see it this way. Your wife sees it from a woman's perspective, and you see it from a man's perspective. Your wife sees it from the perspective of a mother, you see it from the perspective of a father. So who's right and who's wrong? In most cases, it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of helping each other see it, or learning to see it from the other person's perspective. Let me give you a real case scenario here. 2 years ago, I was just getting call after call after call from pastors all over the country for us to come into marriage conferences. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? And everybody would call. I said yes to. And we're going to Florida, and we're going to California, and we're going to Oregon, and we're going to Texas, God forbid, and we're going to Florida, and we're going to North Dakota, we're going to Ohio. About the 10th time, she said very sternly, "Bill, what are you doing? What do you mean, what?
together in meetings. That's where we're at. That's what we do. Well, from my perspective, we just go. But from her perspective, as somebody who works for our daughter and son-in-law, and has to ask for all of that time off, and someone whom our daughter and son-in-law depend on a lot to help with the three boys, she was looking at it from this perspective like, dude, you need to chill out a little bit, pump the brakes. I never saw it from that perspective. That makes sense? I never saw it. It's like, hey, God's using us. And she does not mind being used of the Lord. She loves being used of the Lord. But just use some common sense. Don't take me away from my responsibilities here 10 times. And so we didn't argue about that. It was like, I didn't see that. I just saw it from my perspective. Does that make sense? And so the next time that you find yourselves on the verge of a spat, I just want to encourage you to do what some of you, and I always go to the back of the room when I do this because I want to watch, I want to listen. I would encourage you to do what some of you did just now. When your spouse couldn't see what you were seeing. You know what I saw? I saw some people. And then the other one went, you know what you were doing? You were helping them see what they couldn't see. But when they came to the point that they could see it, like, yeah! I missed that. It was right there all the time. You know what I didn't hear? I didn't hear anybody blaming or belittling their spouse because they couldn't see what the other one saw. I did not hear one wife say, "You are impossible." I did not hear one man say, "You're just like your mother." As near as I can tell, you cooperated, you were respectful, you did what you could to help your spouse see what you were seeing. And listen, so much marital conflict, whether it's over money or parenting, priorities or whatever, could be resolved if couples would just take time to try and accurately see issues from the other's perspective.
That's good.
Listen to me, I'm done. You just did it. You just did it. You can do it here. Time together, Lord, I pray that this would have been helpful, practical, something that could spark discussion, and maybe even some who came up this mountain with some things that needed to be resolved would now know how to spend this afternoon looking at those things, helping them understand, their spouse understand where they're coming from, how they're looking at it. And God, at the end of the day, may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.